ஓம் நம பிரணவாத்தாய சுத்தஜானைகமூர்த்தயே நிர்மலாய பிரசாந்தாய தக்ஷிணாமூர்த்தயே நம. நிரஞ்சனம் நித்யமனந்தரூபம் பக்தானுகம்பாத் விக்ரஹம் வை ஈஷாவதாரம் பரமேஷமேட்யம் தம் ராமகிருஷ்ணம் சிரசா நமாமி. யதாக்னே தாஹிகா சக்தி ராமகிருஷ்ணே ஸ்திதாஹியா சர்வவித்யாஸ்வரூபாந்தாம் சாரதாம் ப்ரணமாம்யஹம். ப்ரபன்னபாரிஜாதாய தோத்ரவேத்ரைகபாணயே ஞானமுத்ராய கிருஷ்ணாய கீதாம்ருததுகே நமஹ. சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சார்ய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சார்ய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். யே மே மதமிதம் நித்யம் அனுதிஷ்டந்தி மாணவாஹ ஸ்ரத்தாவந்தோ ந சூயந்தஹ முச்யந்தே தேபி கர்மபிஹி யே த்வே தத்அப்யசூயந்தஹ நானுதிஷ்டந்தி மே மதம் ஸர்வஜ்ஞான விமூடாஸ்தான் வித்தி நஷ்டான் அசேதஸஹ. வைல் கன்க்ளூடிங் Karma Yoga teachings, Bhagavan has pointed out both the benefit and the disadvantage of Karma Yoga, benefit of following Karma Yoga and disadvantage of not following Karma Yoga. He has pointed out in the last two shlokas. Benefit will be Muchyante karma bihi, they will get freedom from samsara ultimately by going through karma yoga practices, by offering all his actions as the worship of the Lord and by receiving all the results of his actions as the prasada from the Lord. He will gain chitta shuddhi and jnana yogyata, and ultimately he will gain Atma Jnanam also. That is the benefit of following Karma Yoga. But Bhagavan told, to follow Karma Yoga, you need certain attitude. What is that? Shraddhavantaha Anasuyantaha. You should have an intelligence to recognize that the teachings of the Lord is for the benefit of my spiritual life. And even if I don't understand, even if I cannot accept at the first phase itself, without finding fault, I will try to study and try to probe into the teachings of the Vedanta. That is the attitude one should have while going through the Karma Yoga. Then in the next shloka, Bhagavan pointed out, those who don't have this Shraddha, those who don't have this anasuya, those who are jealous about my teaching, those who don't have faith in the teaching, they generally don't practice the karma yoga. Therefore, they will be totally lost with regard to their spiritual life and even with regard to the worldly life. Because they are achetasaha sarvajnana vimudaha, they are unintelligent people, they refuse to use the buddhi shakti given by the Lord. Now the question comes, when everyone knows what is proper and improper, when everyone expects only proper things from others, why people do not oblige to be dharmic? Why people are not afraid of being adharmic? Why people are not afraid of committing lots of sins or vices? The answer is going to be in the next shloka. Bhagavan says, Sadrusham cheshtate swasya prakrutir jnanavanapi ப்ரகிருதிம் யாந்தி பூதானி நிக்ரஹ கிங்கரிஷ்யதி. Everyone knows what is dharma and what is adharma. It's an inbuilt mechanism in every human mind to know what is dharma and what is adharma. What is right, what is proper, and what is improper, everybody knows. Even thief knows telling lie will bring him certain loss. Imagine a thief goes to a house to steal. As even he went, he asked that mother of that house, "You give me the chavi." Chavi means key of that cupboard or key of that bureau. Naturally, no mother will give immediately. So she says, "No, I don't have." The thief says, "Don't tell lie. Don't tell lie. Because if you tell lie, I will be in loss. With a lot of struggle, I have somehow reached this place. Today, I have to get something from you. If you tell lie, I will be at loss. Therefore, don't tell lie." So even though he knows that telling a lie is a problem for one person, so he goes for that type of adharmic action. Even when he beats that people whom he is robbing, he doesn't want to be caught by the police and he doesn't want to be beaten by the police. Even though he wants to steal others' money, he doesn't want his money to be stolen. You imagine two people went for stealing and they got something. So it became almost midnight. They decided that tomorrow we will share it. When early morning, one person got up, he saw another person was missing. Along with him, the stolen objects also were missing. So he says, "This fellow has stolen my money." So he knows that stealing is wrong, but still he goes for stealing. He doesn't want his money to be stolen. He wants his family members should be always safe. But he is ready to harm other family members. He wants his family members should love him or faithful towards him. So he is not ready to be a loving one or faithful one to this society. Therefore, everyone knows that dharma alone, following a proper life alone, will give happiness. That is why he expects proper behavior from the external world, from others, but he is not obliging to that proper transaction, proper behavior towards the society. Therefore, one of our Acharya Swamiji is to tell, we don't need a prophet or a scripture to come and say, be good, be dharmic, don't steal, don't tell lie. We don't need it. Because it is an inbuilt mechanism. Every human being knows that being adharmic means loss for somebody. But still, we find scriptures talk about dharma and adharma. Satyam vada, dharmam chara. Like that, Shastra talks about dharma and adharma. So, what is the role of this Shastra while describing this dharma and adharma? Scripture's role is not in telling be dharmic, but in revealing a karma niyati behind that dharma. Scriptures alone reveal that this karma niyati. What is that karma niyati? Whatever you are going to do, the result is going to come to you only. If you are the doer, you have to take back. If you give a shot of a ball, the ball will come to you only. So that unfailing law is revealed by scripture. It says, if you escape in getting that result of your bad actions in this life, it will be carried forward to the next life also. So scripture reveals the karma niyati and scripture reveals the karma phala dhata. There is one entity called Ishwaraha or Bhagavan, who is all the time witnessing all your actions, and he is a just person. He is going to give back the result of the action either in this Janma or in the next Janma. And Shastra alone reveals whatever you have received in this life, whether it is pleasure or pain, whether it is glory or ill fame, that is because of the result of your past actions. And scripture alone reveals that by free will you can design, you can decide what type of future life you want to have. So scripture reveals that karma niyati, scripture reveals that karma phala dhata ishvaraha, scriptures reveal that life as a gift from the Lord, and that gift is decided according to your own past actions. So the body is a gift, the mind is a gift, intellect and free will is a gift. So these are all called bhoga ayatanam or bhoga karanam, instrument to have pain and pleasure in life. And there is a bhogya prapancha also, external world. And kala is given by the Lord, it's a gift. Parentage, culture, scripture, everything is a gift. Scripture alone reveals that all these are all earned by you, given as a gift to you by the Lord, earned by you by your past actions. So, intelligent person, a karma yogi, appreciates these gifts, appreciates the giver, that is Bhagavan, and appreciates the unfailing mechanism. What is that unfailing mechanism? That karma niyati. Whatever you have sown, you have to reap back. Maybe in this janma or maybe in the next janma. So therefore, an intelligent karma yogi aligns his life according to this unfailing karma niyati. But all are not intelligent. That is the problem. Majority of humanity is foolish, carried away by the situation. So the foolish people do not oblige to be dharmic, even though they expect others to be dharmic, because of the lack of conviction in this karma niyati. Why this lack of conviction? The lack of thinking. Because of the non-thinking, they try to escape from this karma niyati by some means or the other. While committing that particular wrong action, he knows that it is wrong. But still, he does it because he thinks that somehow or the other way, I can escape from the result of this wrong action. If they are convinced about the unfailing nature of this karma niyati, they will never try to cross the borders. They will never try to transgress the values. Say for example, taking poison kills a person. It's an unfailing law. Anybody who takes poison, immediately that fellow is admitted into the ICU. Correct? So everybody has this conviction, poison is equal to death. But the same person goes for taking alcohol. He goes for drinking places and takes a drink. What happens? Alcohol doesn't kill immediately. Alcohol or drugs don't kill that person immediately. So he says, in my case, it is failing. So I have not died. Even though it is a poison, but still I am taking and I am alive. In my case, it is failing. It is not unfailing. So this achetasaha, sarvajnana vimudaha, they are unintelligent people. They are not able to see the actual result of their action. They are carried away by the apparent result of the action. What is that apparent result of drinking? Some sort of sensory pleasure he gets. So he is carried away by that apparent result, but actual result is going to be death only. Crossing the traffic signal. What is that apparent result? He will save some time. And he finds that crossing this traffic signal means it is an adventure. But ultimately, what is the actual result? One day or the other day, the fellow will be admitted in the ICU unit. So death is inevitable. As even they repeat these violations, then an impression is formed, a conviction in violation is coming in his mind. So many times I have violated, never punished. So many times he has also violated, he is nice only, he is not punished. All the politicians who take lots of bribe and save lot of money and cheat the country, they are all right only, everybody respect them only. But he is not punished. How can you say karmaniyati is unfailing? So he is able to see only apparent result of that violation. He is not able to see little further the actual result of violation. Therefore he goes for repeated violation. When he repeats the violation, what happens? A conviction comes in his mind that by violation I am not going to be in trouble. So they repeat again and again, finally end up as a slave to his weaknesses, to his wrong conviction and vasanas. We call it vasanas. When Bhagavan went to Duryodhana's court as a messenger on behalf of Pandavas, Bhagavan told lot of dharma and adharma. So after hearing everything, our Duryodhana told, Janami dharmam nachame pravrittihi, Janami adharmam nachame nivrittihi, Yenabhi margena kritisthitena yatha niyuktosmi tatha karomi. He told, I know what is right. I have to give them at least half of the kingdom. I know that is the right thing. But nachame pravrittihi, I am not able to follow it. Janami adharmam, not giving their own part is an adharma. And keeping eye on the other's wealth is an adharma, I know that. Nachame nivrittihi, what to do? I am not able to withdraw myself from that nivritti. Why you are not able to do these things? He says, kenapi margene or kenapi devene. One third fellow is sitting in me. In other religion, this third fellow is named as devil, Satan they call. But in our religion, it is nothing but vasanas, your own repeated actions, your own repeated convictions. So kenapi devene hritisthitene yatha niyuktosmi, as even it propels me according to its whims and fancies, what to do? I have to be dragged here and there. So they become compulsory criminals. Even after getting punishment in the jail, when they come out, what happened? They are not able to redeem themselves. They become compulsory criminals, like a drunkard. He is completely influenced by that samskara. Purva vasana influences a person's quality of life. What is the question? Why everyone knows what is proper and improper? Everyone expects only proper behavior from the society. Why he is not able to oblige that propriety? Why he is not able to follow that dharma? The answer is purva vasana, that is samskaraha influences a person's quality of life. If he is sattvic nature, predominantly sattva guna pradanaha, then his life will be a committed life for knowledge, a committed life for any type of knowledge. He will be either scientist or sannyasi. If he is a sattva guna pradanaha, if he is a rajoguna pradanaha, he will be either a kshatriyaha or vaishyaha. He will be either a person who can rule this country or he will be a businessman. And if he is tamasa pradanaha, tamoguna pradanaha, then he leads a life of servitude. We call in Sanskrit shudraha. Shudraha means not low, but it is a life of servitude. He is not able to think and decide his course of action. Somebody he needs. So all the people who go for work under somebody is called in our culture as people of servitude. So according to his own vasana only, if he chooses his profession, then he will be without conflicts. So this is not a sin. Having vasanas is not a sin, but justifying those vasanas to exist throughout our life happened to be a sin. So in this shloka, Bhagavan explains the power of vasanas. Vasanas are formed either in this janma, in the recent past, from my childhood. In my childhood, I might have come across certain bitter experiences, so that will create some sort of impression. Or even in the remote past, purva janmas also, Here Bhagavan says, Swasyaha prakritehe sadrisham cheshtate. Every being acts in the world according to its past vasanas, according to its natural dispositions. We call vasana in English can be translated as natural disposition. Nobody need to teach him, but it is very natural for him. Here Bhagavan says, Jnanavan api. Even the wise man leads his life according to his vasanas. That's why we find in the wise men themselves lot of varieties. Active jnani, preaching jnani, writing jnani, lecturing jnani, passive jnani, guha jnani, that is cave jnani. Varieties of jnanis are there. And one Acharya Swamiji used to tell, if he is a North Indian jnani, he will certainly like roti and dal. He will not like our idli vada. If he is South Indian jnani, after gaining that jnanam also, he will like to have that dosa, idli, vada, if he is South Indian jnani. So it is nothing wrong. Even devatas have this certain innate natural characteristics. Yes, and we find Vishnu means Pitambara Dari, only yellow color, silk dhoti only he will have. Then Kaustubha Mala with golden necklace, very precious one, Kaustubha Mala. Then he will have Shankha, Chakra. Then if he is Krishna, he will have flute, he will not have guitar. And if he is Saraswati, she will have only white cloth, only Veena, not Tampura. So if he is Bhagavan Shiva, Bhagavan Shiva only Kaupina or maximum deer skin as his dress and Rudraksha Mala as his necklace. So every devata has his own natural disposition governed by these three qualities. Like other all, Prakritim Yanti Bhutani. Yanti means Anugachanti. They follow their own natural disposition, their own swabhava in their life. So therefore Bhagavan says, Nigraha Kim Karishyati. What is the use of external restrictions? He is not able to control his own vasanas. What is the use of external restrictions? Shankaracharya nicely comments there, Mamava Anyasava. What is the use of either my restriction or what is the use of somebody's restriction? Because neither you nor I can control that person from doing what he wants to do. He has a free will. Human being has a free will. He can disobey even Bhagavan. He has that capacity to disobey. He has the capacity to say, no Bhagavan, no, I cannot come. Suppose Bhagavan comes and says, you are praying nicely, so tomorrow come, I will take you to Vaikuntha. What we will say? Just now my son joined in engineering college, Bhagavan, so I am struggling for paying the fees, please give. So he has the capacity to say no to even Bhagavan. So therefore here this shloka Bhagavan says, even the omnipotent Lord cannot change anyone in the world. He tried to change Duryodhana when he was in Krishna avatara. What happened? He could not change. This appears a great bombshell for our free will. Because here Bhagavan says, nothing can be controlled. He is out of control. So Shankaracharya raises a beautiful question. Yadi sarvo jantuhu atmanaha prakriti sadrisham eva cheshtate nacha prakriti shunyaha kashchid asti tataha purushakarasya vishayanupapattehe shastrasya anartakya praptau idam ucchate. He raises a beautiful question, a series of questions. He asks, does it mean everyone should be the slave of his own vasanas, his own samskaras? Like an onion or a garlic has its own samskara, its own vasana. Whatever you do, it cannot give up that samskara. Correct? Nijam gunam munchati no palanduhu. A poet sang, palandu means onion. He wanted to change the nature of that onion. So what he did, he had placed that onion in the midst of the sandal paste. So below that onion, sandal paste. Then he did abhisheka of karpura. Karpura dulika. So the karpura means camphor. Camphor generally gives smell, good smell. Chandan also, sandal paste also gives good smell. Then he has sprinkled all rose water. Then he gave dhupa, incense sticks, everything. After half an hour, when he opened that onion, nijam gunam munchati no phalanduhu. Oh onion, you are not able to give up your vasanas. Is it the same case with regard to human being also? Does it mean everyone should be under the control of vasanas? Everyone should be slave of vasanas? Then if all living beings are under the control of vasanas, then what is the difference between human beings and animals? Animals also under the control of vasanas. If human being also should be under the control of vasanas, then what is the difference between human being and animals? Second question. Third question, whether human beings have free will or not. Whether they can decide their life or not. If they are not in a position to decide their life, so it leads to fatalism. Fatalism means what? Everything is predestined. Why should I go for employment? Anyhow, it is predestined, I will get my food. So it leads to fatalism. If free will is there, then what is the role of that free will? Fourth question. Then fifth question, if free will is not there, then what is the role of Shastra Pramanam? Because Shastra Pramanam can work only with regard to human being. Why? Because human being alone has that free will. Shastra Pramanam cannot exist without free will. Shastra says, Suram na pibet, Kalanjam na bhakshayet, Himsam na kuryat. Don't drink alcohol. Don't eat meat. Don't harm others. Like these Shastra Vakyas are there. These Vakyas are only for human being. Shastra cannot tell a cat, Kalanjam na bhakshayet, don't eat rat. Shastra cannot say. So I remember a story. A Swami who is established in Ahimsa, he wanted entire surrounding to be established in Ahimsa. Ahimsa means what? Not harming others. So he found all the inmates of the ashramas are following that Ahimsa, except this fellow cat. So he called that cat. Cat, cat, you come. You are living in ashrama. Ashrama is a place for Ahimsa. You are the member of the ashrama. Therefore, you also should follow Ahimsa. That is a speaking cat for the story's sake. So cat asked, what should I do? If I do what sadhana, I will get that Ahimsa. What to do? My pravrti is Himsa. As soon as I see the rat, immediately I wanted to catch. So how can I get away from this nature? Then the Swamiji told, tell Ramanama, Taraka mantra. It is the one mantra, Ramanama, Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. When you say, it will cross the ocean of samsara, ocean of all this vasana, follow it. So cat also agreed, okay, I will try. So it started chanting the Lord's name, Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. So the sound also, the Swami used to hear. The Swami observed whether this fellow is following my suggestion or not. So the sound is to come, kyung, 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 like that it is to come. Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Then suddenly, after 1 hour or 2 hours, this sound stopped. So the Swamiji peeped into that place where cat is to live. There he saw, without opening the mouth, it was trying to give some sound. Then Swamiji asked, hey, I told you to tell Ramnama, Taraka Mantra, are you not following? Cat told, I am following. Then Swamiji asked, hey, open your mouth and tell clear answer. When cat opened the mouth, what happened? Inside that mouth, rat is there.
So Shastra cannot say to a rat or any animal, Himsa na kuryat. And Shastra need not tell a cow, Kalanjam na bhakshaye, don't eat meat. It need not tell. By natural disposition, it is vegetarian. So all the Shastric words, injunctions of the Shastra is for a human being. If human being doesn't have free will, if human being is a slave of his own samskaras, then there is no question of Shastra Pramanam. Therefore, is there free will or not? Then only Shastra Pramanam has relevance. Then sixth question is, if there is no free will and there is no Shastra Pramanam, there is no possibility of gaining moksha also. There is no possibility of attaining the Lord. So whether there is a free will or not, Bhagavan answers. Indriyasyendriyasyarte ragadveshau vyavasthitau tayor navashamagacche tauhyasya paripanthinau. In this shloka, Bhagavan says, vasanas influence the lifestyle of every living being, but human being has the free will to respond to them properly. Indriyasya arte ragadveshau vyavasthitau. With reference to every sense object in the world, there are likes and dislikes. For everyone, there are likes and dislikes with reference to the every sense object in the world. If that person finds that particular sense object is the source of his happiness, naturally he develops likes. If he finds that it is not a source of happiness as far as his understanding is concerned, he develops dislikes. So vasana is responsible for these likes and dislikes. Vasana means what? Natural propensities, natural disposition, natural inclination, natural tendencies. And Bhagavan says, you have no control over them since it is apratyaksham. What is inside your subconscious mind, since you don't know, you cannot handle it. When you come in contact with the external world, that time only these vasanas expresses themselves in the form of likes and dislikes. They judge that particular object whether ice cream is nice or not. Should I go for ice cream or not? How? Some people like ice cream, some people don't like ice cream. How? His own vasanas are there in his mind. So that classifies that it is favorable and it is unfavorable. Therefore, with regard to favorable things, he develops love or like. With regard to unfavorable things, he develops hatred. That's why one of our Swamiji used to tell, before getting married, this fellow told to his girlfriend, I love you my dear, I love you my dear. Then after marriage, after 1 year or 2 years, after getting lot of bitter experiences, what he told, I allow you my dear to go wherever you want. That means what? The same object happened to be the source of happiness. When he finds that it is a source of happiness, he likes it and he goes for it. When he finds it is not the source of happiness, it is a source of sorrow, immediately he drops that object. So you cannot avoid having likes and dislikes. In fact, you define a person according to his likes and dislikes only. Not only a person, any devata. As I told, you define devata, Saraswati devata. How you define? According to the attributes which the devata has, some attributes, white sari, veena, like that. How? Because she likes it. So you define a person according to his likes and dislikes. Therefore, having raga dvesha is not a sin. Therefore, Bhagavan says, accept their presence, accept their inevitable presence, and you cannot destroy them. Shastra says, you need not destroy them. Then, does it mean that I should be slave for them? Bhagavan says, it is inevitable. You cannot avoid its presence and you cannot destroy it and you need not destroy it. That means, it will be always with me. So, if it is always with me, should I be the slave of my likes and dislikes? Here, Bhagavan says, Tayoho vasham na agachet. It's a beautiful statement. statement, billion dollar statement. Tayoho vasham na agachet. Don't come under the spell of your likes and dislikes. You handle them, but don't allow them to handle you. And it is a privilege for you to have likes and dislikes. Animals cannot have likes and dislikes. It cannot select. Only for survival purpose that intellect is given. As far as human being is concerned, he has a privilege to desire so many desires. The problem is, after desiring for that thing, he goes for that and says that without getting it, I will be unhappy. Fulfillment of that particular desire defines or determines my happiness or unhappiness. Once you decide in that way, you come under the likes and dislikes, your own desire. Bhagavan says, let the desire be there. And I only express as the desire. Dharma vruddho kamosmi bharadarshabha. I only express as desire, which is not opposed to dharma. So it is a privilege of human being to have likes and dislikes. Only one condition you should follow. Tayoho vasham na agachet. Don't be under the control of your likes and dislikes. Don't allow your likes and dislikes to command you, but you handle them, you control them. Then the question comes, how can I control, how can I handle, how can I avoid their overpowering capacity, how can I save myself from the influence of my likes and dislikes? Because if I don't save myself from the influences, it will destroy me. It will be a whimsical life. Like a dog, it doesn't have any work at all. It goes from this street to that street, that street to that street. And whenever it finds conducive place, it raises its leg. Whenever it wants to bark, immediately it barks. So, simply likes and dislikes thrashes that particular animal. Similarly, here also, if I am under the control of my likes and dislikes, I will be thrashed in my life. So, how to control my vasana? How to control my likes and dislikes? The answer is, vasanas are in subconscious mind. See, these are all very, very beautiful, deep psychological facts of our life. Whether we accept, whether we understand the Bhagavan or not, at least the psychological factor of the spiritual teaching we should accept. At least we can avoid major accidents in our life. So here Shastra says, vasanas means what? It is in the subconscious mind as an impression. Vasana expresses as likes and dislikes. And likes and dislikes, how it expresses? In a form of a thought, a feeble thought. That is why all the advertisement companies, they spend lots of money to create that feeble thought. It is nice. It is nice. It is beautiful. So repeatedly they show the same advertisement, naturally the impression goes into the mind, then mind starts talking, all is positive nature. Because in advertisement they will give only positive nature of that product. So you will be happy, you will be nice. When we were youngsters, we had one advertisement. Onida, owner's pride, neighbor's envy. So repeatedly you hear. What happens? You find that it is nice, I like it, it is nice, I like it. Suddenly mind says, I want it. Immediately you have to see your packet. If money is not there, somehow or the other, I want it. So I will go for bribe. I will take all the unnatural means. And mind goes to such an extent, it says, without that, I cannot live. Many youngsters nowadays say, without my girlfriend, Swamiji, I cannot live. Are you lived already 20-25 years? I used to ask, when you saw your girlfriend? Just 2 months before. So before that, you did not live. So it is a delusion. When that vasana expresses as a lie, it is a feeble thought, and it cannot provoke you to act according to its thought. It's a feeble thought. When you have control over at this thought state, then you are handling that vasana. You need not deliver yourself to that thought. It is nice, okay. Why should I go for it? If a person, bald head person, if he says shampoo is nice, what is the use of that? Hey, shampoo is for others, not for me. I am already bald head. So that type of handling the thought, there comes our free will. Shastra says, exercise your free will without allowing them to overpower you. It can overpower you if you think repeatedly, it is nice, it is nice, it is nice. Or don't allow them to create a guilt consciousness in you. Some sort of vasana, suddenly it comes out, we wonder how this type of bad thought can come to my mind. I am leading such a dharmic life, suddenly this thought comes. You have to understand that it is there in the subconscious mind. It is expressing, that's all. Be a witness of it. Don't fan it again and again, and either don't allow yourself to be overpowered by that thought, or don't allow yourself to have guilt consciousness over that thought. Exercise your free will. Otherwise, that vritti, that thought will be converted into an action without your knowledge. If you are not alert, the stage is vasana, subconscious mind produces vritti, thoughts. The vritti leads to action. So vasana stage, human being don't have any control because he doesn't know that he has that type of vasana, samskara, that type of disposition, he doesn't know. And after transaction also, he doesn't have any control because any action will give result automatically. But he has control between the vritti to action, between the thought process to action. Here human being can decide whether I should act or not. You throw a stone to a dog, immediately what dog does? It simply barks you. But human being need not bark. He can catch that stone, keep it in his packet and say, why you are doing like this, isn't it? So he has two choices. Either he can scold that person, or he can simply catch it and say, why you are harming, in a natural way, or he can throw also. Kartum va anyata kartum va akartum va shakyate. That is the nature of free will. Therefore, here Bhagavan says, appoint a security check. Appoint a security guard. Put a CCTV. Closed circuit television. You have to put. With regard to what? With regard to your own thoughts. With regard to your own likes and dislikes. You can process those thoughts and have a check whether these thoughts are according to dharma. If you find that it is not according to dharma, you have to be ready to drop them. So therefore, human being has the free will to process, refine, filter and transform that vritti, that thought, and respond properly. So time gap is very, very limited. We are living a mechanical life, therefore we find suddenly something comes, something we do. Naturally, somebody scolds means, what happens? Immediately BP raises, words are coming out. But still, if he is a boss, if he is a employer, what you do? You swallow it, correct? You swallow it back, because you know the side effects of that uttering. It has come almost to the mouth. So you see the consequence. Tomorrow I will be given pink slip and my family is depend upon me. Without salary, how can I live? So what I do? I swallow it back. I am not able to relinquish it. So I swallow it back, coming to home, waiting. That bomb is inside the mouth. So poor mother comes, poor wife comes there, simply hands over. So mother also, that wife also received it. She is waiting to give back to somebody. That child, poor child, innocent child, he comes, so she passes. It is a mechanical life. Shastra says, a human being, you have that capacity to neutralize. You have the capacity to scan your thoughts, to refine, to transform your thoughts, provided If you are having a strong intellect, strong buddhi, it is called. The gap is very small, but still in that particular gap you can do miracles. That is the difference between intelligent man and a foolish man. Suppose if you observe in Olympics, there is a sport called diving, water diving. Just from the springboard, how much time takes for him to go into the water? Few seconds. Just he jumps from that springboard and falls in the water. Within that few seconds, if you see in slow motion that picture, he will do all types of gymnastics. Correct? How much he might have practiced within small moments. And when you see in a natural speed, everybody jumps in the water. One fellow is given prize, another fellow is not given prize. You have to see that slow motion. There they will find how much he has manipulated that small time gap, how much he has manipulated, how much he has trained his physical body to go for all these gymnastic exercises. You ask him, he will tell, 20 years I was practicing this, he will tell. So here Shastra says, human being has free will. You can exercise your free will, and you should exercise your free will. And what is the sign of exercising that free will? Enlighten your buddhi. The buddhi should be enlightened, and it should be trained, and it should be alert intellect. Then you can find out anything. The scanner is there, the buddhi is the scanner. So immediately it will beep off. As even you are seeing some sports or some cinema, you find some unwanted degrading thoughts or scenes are shown in that cinema or as an advertisement. Immediately, if the mind is alert, it will show, hey, it is not for you. The shampoo advertisement is not for bald head wala, not for sannyasi. Shampoo advertisement. So what is the fun in seeing that? Get away. So that should be the power or strength of that buddhi. If the buddhi is powerful than the emotional mind, you can have control over your emotional mind, which is the responsible faculty for likes and dislikes. That's why Kathopanishad portrays the human life as a travel. The traveler is a master who is sitting in that car, chariot, and horses are compared to sense organs. And the body is compared to the ratha, the car, and the reins, which is connected with the driver, the horses and driver. In between there is a rein, a rope or a belt, that is compared to emotional aspect, mind we call. But who is the driver? Buddhim tu sarathim vidhi. The sarathi happened to be buddhi. If that sarathi is strong wala, one who can control the speed of the horses, if he is an informed person, which route I can go, which route is the safest route, if he is an informed person, if he is a sane person, if he is a strong person, then Shastra says his journey is a fruitful journey. Yastu vijnanavan bhavati samanaska sada shuchihi tatu tatpadam apnoti yasmad bhuyo na jayate. Shastra says, if a person's buddhi is a strong one, an enlightened one, then his life journey happened to be a ultimate journey which leads to the ultimate end called yasmad bhuyoha na jayate. He will not come back to samsara. On the other hand, yastu avijnanavan bhavati amanaskaha sada ashuchihi nasa tatpadam apnoti samsaram chadi gacchati. If your mind is polluted mind, full of raga deshas, overpowering emotional mind, unenlightened mind, prakrita manas they call it, an animalistic mind, then his life journey is going to be a problematic one. Therefore, buddhi alone should decide the direction of your life. That is why regular swadhyaya, regular study of scriptures are very, very important in our culture, Vedic culture. Swadhyaya pravachanabhyam na pramaditavyam. Daily, we should have time to spend with ourselves to invoke the higher personalities. All the time we are living in the physical personality only, sensory personality only. Or maximum we go up to emotional personality. We get anger, greediness, jealous. So many emotional personalities are all the time thrashing us. No time for enlightening the intellectual personality. Therefore, Shastra comes here. What is the place of free will is explained by Bhagavan. Now, what is the place of Shastra, Shastra Pramanam, is going to be explained by Bhagavan. So, that mind should be, that buddhi should be enlightened. Who will enlighten that buddhi? Bhagavan says, yes, Shastra vidhim utsrujya vartate kamakarataha nasa siddhim avapnoti na sukam na parangati. One who doesn't know what is the ultimate teaching of the scriptures, one who doesn't follow those things in his life, na siddhim avapnoti, is not going to get any success in life, na sukam, not going to be happy at all, na parangati, not going to get anything in the future life. Tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karyo vyavastitau. Therefore, let Shastra be your guide in defining what is karya, what is akarya, in defining what is right and what is wrong. Jnatva Shastra vidanoktam karma kartum ihargati. After knowing what is the teaching, you can enlighten your mind. Once the mind is enlightened, once the mind is repeatedly trying to practice those values in life, slowly that mind gains strength. Therefore, human being has a free will to lead his life either as a prakritaha, as a ignorant person, as an animalistic person having all types of animalistic inclinations, instincts, or he has the free will to lead as a sanskritaha, as a refined person. He also will have likes and dislikes, but he will not allow that likes and dislikes to overpower him. He will go by dharma dharma jnanam only. He will go by what is right and what is wrong. Even if it is not according to my like, I will do it if it is proper. So, intelligent and refined person, life will be according to dharma and adharma. His vasanas shows the material gain of cheating. Suppose, a situation wherein a person is available to be cheated. So, you can cheat casually. So, ordinary mind shows, hey, if you cheat him, he will get 1,000 rupees. All businessmen know this. If he is a good for nothing fellow, if he comes, hey, Swami enters, Swami doesn't know anything. Okay, I will tell the price of the object, 1,000 rupees increase. Simply, he will increase by word. It's a cheating. And why he goes for that cheating? The mind shows, by cheating like this, he will get 1,000 rupees extra. So, it shows the material gain. But if he is a person of dharma and adharma, if he is a person of good and bad, then his inner mind will say, though you may get 1,000 rupees extra, you will get papam. You will get papam. Your mind will have guilt consciousness. Your mind will be a split person. It will have 2, 3, 4. That's why everyone behaves in one way, in one place. In ashrama, one type of behavior. With regard to family members, another type of behavior. We are not able to even believe when family members come and complain, Swamiji, he is behaving like this in this way. We are not able to believe because that person's behavior is wonderful here in ashrama. With regard to family members, one type of behavior. In office, another type of behavior. In entertainment places only, we have to see that real behavior. It will lead to split personality. And if the mind is intelligent mind, it will show that unfailing nature of that karma niyati, that you cannot escape from this. You have to pay back. And if you are going to pay back, that paying back is going to happen in future, that paying back will be certainly greater than the present profit. So you have to pay back in a greater way. When you pay back, the pain also will be more. Like a diabetic patient, for example, he knows that sugar is not good for him because doctor has told, jnanam has come, intelligence has come. He knows that it is not good for him. But what to do? When laddu comes, immediately one part of mind says, hey, take it, it is nice, take it. Then another part of mind says, hey, it is calorie, it is danger, don't take, don't take. Suppose he goes by his intellect, his knowledge, according to his knowledge, that don't take, it is not proper for you, he saved. Suppose he goes by his emotional mind and takes half laddu, he has to pay back. He has to pay back. I used to tell for the students when I go to colleges, at least 50-60 colleges every year. I used to tell, suppose if you get gold medal by doing copying in your exam, and that gold medal is presented to you, and you have put it in your showcase or in your house, and when your son is not studying well, and mother says, hey, see your father, how he got gold medal, what you will think? Ayo, papa, I only know how he got. And child comes and asks, papa, is it true that you got gold medal? What you will say? What to do, I got gold medal. Can he enjoy that gold medal? Can he enjoy that gold medal after violating their norms? So what is the use of having that gold medal? Suppose after 20 years or 30 years, your friend who happened to be your college mate comes and sees that gold medal, and other friends also are there. It's a Shashyapta Purti. You have attained 60th year. Lot of friends and family members are there. They are admiring your education, qualification, gold medal. That friend who happened to be your classmate, he says, Jawa, gold medal. Chikai. He will tell, can he enjoy that? That is the idea. You have to pay back. Thus, intelligent mind recognizes the fact that coming under the spell of likes and dislikes or coming under the control of the enemies. Jata matram naya shatrum vyadhim va prashamam naye ati pushtanga yukto api tapashyat tena hanyate. Once you find that somebody is going to be a threat to your life or to your happiness, what it says? Shatrum va vyadhim va, whether it is a disease or an enemy, finish him off. If you leave him, if you leave that bug, if you leave that virus and bacteria, adi pushtanga yukto api tapashyat tena hanyate, you are going to be destroyed by that bug, by virus and bacteria. Therefore here Bhagavan says, understand that tau asya paripanchinau, understand that these likes and dislikes, if you allow them to overpower you, they are going to be your inner enemies. Paripanchinau means highway robbers. What they do? Suddenly they overpower on us, then take all the wealth, whatever we have, they harm our body and they throw us somewhere else in dungeon. Well, so our travel is obstructed. Similarly, this raga and dvesha, these likes and dislikes also should not be given power. You should not give handle to them to handle you. You should have that handle. You have to handle them. Since you cannot avoid their presence, you should know how to handle them. Since you cannot destroy them completely, you should know how to handle them. Therefore, what is that treasure that likes and dislikes are going to take away from us? Bhagavan says, Viveka Shakti. That's the only wealth for human being. Isn't it? Ahara Nidra Bhaya Mahitunancha Samanya Metat Pashubir Naranam Buddhirhi Tesham Adhiko Visheshaha Buddhirvihina Pashubis Samana. Only one faculty which differentiates us from the animal kingdom is what? This Buddhi Shakti, this thinking capacity. If you allow the thinking capacity to be overpowered by these enemies called Raga and Dvesha, likes and dislikes, your life is going to be in trouble. Therefore, strengthen your mind by the regular study of scriptures and exercise your free will in exercising the thing what you know right. You have to follow it. Repeated following will give you strength. So what is the strength, the sign of free will? Here Bhagavan says, you choose to act according to dharma only, even if it brings some discomfort to you, even if you may not like it. Like Dasharatha. Dasharatha never liked to send Rama to forest. But what he ultimately did, he sent him. Even though I am going to be at loss, I am going to be separated from Rama, still I have to follow, still I have to keep my words. Therefore, I will stick to it even though I don't like. or Bhagavan says, you choose not to commit any adharma. One is choose only to follow dharma, even if it is going to give some material discomfort, material loss. Here, another option says, don't commit adharma, even though you can avoid all the unwanted troubles. Still, you have to follow. You may like them or you may not like them. That is not the criterion to do some action. Whether it is proper or improper, that should be the criterion. Ramji in Ramayan, he says, a person's life who is carried away by likes and dislikes will be an animalistic life. Therefore, I will not be an animal. I will go by do's and don'ts. I am going to convert my life from likes and dislikes to do's and don'ts. So, if you have that capacity to assert your mastery over your own likes and dislikes, then you can say, I am a free person. Otherwise, you are a slave only, slave to the sense organs, slave to the weaknesses of the mind. You cannot say that you are free. Now, college students say, we are free people, we should do whatever we like. Are, that is the sign of slavery. That is the sign of slavery. They are not able to understand. What is the benefit of this exercise of free will? Free will assures you a life of harmony. By your conformity to dharma, you don't rub the natural law. When you rub a tree, what happens? Tree doesn't get any problem. You are rubbed. You try to rub neem tree, remove your shirt and rub. You will see what is the meaning of rubbing. Similarly, you don't rub with the universal unfailing laws. So your life will be a life of harmony. Harmony with yourself. You will not have any guilt consciousness. No split personality. Nobody is there to laugh at you. And you will be harmony with your own neighbors, with the external world. There is no idea of competition, idea of jealous. Nothing will be there. And there is no fear of God also. Therefore, harmony with God, the Creator, harmony with the world, the creation, harmony with yourself, that will be the benefit. Now, in this shloka, Bhagavan has established that there is a free will, a choice, a capacity to choose is there in the human being. He can work towards that Shreyo Margaha, towards that path of freedom. And Shastra is the main tool in enlightening that free will. And the enlightened Buddhi, if a person handles his likes and dislikes, he can be successful. He should exercise his free will, enlighten his buddhi, and he should exercise that buddhi also in following the dharma only in his life. All these ideas are established by this beautiful shloka. One shloka gives the solution for all the psychological problems. More details you will see in the next class.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane प्रणदक्लेशनाशाय गोविंदाय नमो नमः.